morning, book of Philippians. A lot of times when we get our messages, we'll read through the scriptures and the Lord will kind of give us sometimes it's just a word, and sometimes it's a verse of scripture. Sometimes it's an entire chapter out of the Bible. And a lot of times, things that happen in our lives to us personally, God turns those things into messages. And so, sadly to say, sometimes they're rebukes. Sometimes it's when God corrects us and God chastens us. And from that, the Bible says the chastisement of the Lord always ends up yielding a peaceable fruit. Amen. And in this message this morning, what I'm going to share with you just briefly is something that happened to me a while back. And I guess this first year we was out there in Rossville, Georgia at Brother Gravely's church. And something had happened and God used that in my life and corrected some things in my life and turned that into a message. And I'm going to try to preach that this morning. I hope it'll be a help to you. But you always have to have a title, and I titled this The Greatest Message I Ever Saw, because it was a message right before my eyes that God used to help me. Amen. Book of Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. We'll read just two or three scriptures, two or three verses. Philippians chapter 2, we'll begin reading verse number 3. The Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Father, bless the reading of your word this morning. Give us liberty. Give us unction, Lord God. We need your help, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us, Lord, with the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, God, that you give ears to hear your word this day. Lord, our minds, our hearts still goes back to the last message preached, God. Lord, no doubt, Lord, there's somebody here, God, playing the hypocrite. Lord, I pray, God, that you would take them, Lord God, that you would, God, convict, continue to deal with them, Lord, woo them, Lord, and draw them, Lord, to an altar of repentance, Lord. But I pray now, Lord, that you take, Lord, these words, Lord God, this message, Lord, that you change hearts this day. God, let us see, God, what it is to, Lord, to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, again, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as we stand and preach, have your perfect will and way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, the greatest message that I ever saw, when you get into Philippians here and Paul's beginning to tell to the church of Philippi, he says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." We live in a day where there's a lot of strife. I mean, we go, since I started traveling in evangelism, it just seems like you've got one clique over here that's wanting to wrestle with this clique over here, or one church down the road wanting to fight with this other church, and there seems to always be strife or something going on that's causing contention and causing division amongst the church of God. I remember years back, I had a pastor call me. He'd had a church split in his church. And the sad thing about it was one side of the church was meeting in the fellowship hall on the same grounds. And he was trying to meet in the sanctuary. And it was just an absolute mess. And he said, "Brother, we need help. Can you come in here and preach for us?" And the Lord had me preach a message on there's no sense fighting over a stopped up well. I said, the problem is that side over there stopped up the well. This side over here stopped up the well. Everybody's fighting. There's strife. There's contention. And the whole time souls is all around you dying and going to hell. And there ain't no water coming out of the well. Amen. There ain't no sense having all the strife and having all the contention. The reason is because the cause of Christ is being hurt. Now, I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about yoking up with every wind of doctrine that comes along. There's some things I'm going to separate from. Amen. Amen. There's some things that ain't biblical. There's some things that don't line up with the scripture. But I'm going to hold to the book. I'm going to stand on the book. I'm going to preach the book. Amen. I'm going to live the book. But all this strife and contention, that word strife, it has to do with the wanting of superiority. And I believe that bit of pride is in every life, in every individual on the face of the earth. We want to be superior. We want somebody to look at us. We want somebody to hold us in high esteem. And the strife and the contention is all about pride. It's about superiority. It's about being lifted up so that everybody knows that you are godly. You are the man or the woman. You are it. Let everyone look at me because I am humble. I am humble and I am proud that I am humble. Because I am so humble. I am the humblest of humble. I want everyone to see me. And the thing is, when you begin to be like that, even Jonathan hit that, the eyes of man are no longer on Christ the way they're supposed to be, but the eyes of man is on man. And blind leadeth the blind, you're both going to fall in the ditch. Amen. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That vainglory is empty glory. Because all the glory that you do in yourself, it just fizzles away. It's just gone. Vainglory, that self-conceit. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That word lowliness, it means modest. Modesty of mind, just the same as we dress modest. We teach our children, dress modestly. Cover yourself so because you have a testimony, but at the same time, it's a humbleness about you. And you have that lowliness of mind. In other words, instead of thinking yourself the greatest in your mind, start looking at yourself the way Christ sees you. And I'm not talking about you are nobody because you are somebody, but at the same time, we're glorified dirt balls. We're all just a big ball of dirt. Amen? That's why boys is dirty all the time, because they dirt. It leaks out more into boys, I reckon. But we're all, when we start thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think, consider that. Consider, you say, well, how great are you? Christ had to die for you. Christ shed his blood for you, for me, for every individual in here. The same blood that saved the most religious person sitting on the church pew. It's the same blood that reaches down to the worst drunk on the face of the earth. You want to start thinking of yourself more highly than y'all? Start thinking you ain't no different than the drunk on the street, than the prostitute down the road, than the drug addict that's strung out this morning and can't even find his way home. Don't even know where his car is. Don't even remember where he parked last night. We're no different because we're all sinners. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Start looking at others and esteem them instead of esteeming yourself. We esteem Christ. Let Christ do the esteeming. We look at others as they should be better. He said, look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Stop looking out for number one. Stop looking out for yourself. Stop looking out by me and my four and no more. And start looking on the need of others. And start looking at what other folks. There's folks going through tragedy. There's folks needing prayer. There's folks sometimes just need somebody to walk up and touch them on the back of the hand and say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Somebody to kneel down beside of you and lift you up. But the thing is, we get our eyes on ourselves and our needs and our troubles and our worries. And we forget about everybody else. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ looked on the needs of others. Christ came to be a servant. And we need to be a servant. Amen. Now, to the illustration of where this thought came from, a couple years back, we was out in Rossville, Georgia. We were standing in line. I guess it was when there was there at Bible Baptist. And we, if y'all remember, some of you been there, there's a great big long line that comes in. They feed you and all. And as we were standing in line, me and my family were there. We happened to look, and there was a young boy that had come out. I guess he'd already finished his dinner. And he came up, and he got a piece of cake. And every boy knows if you're going to go through the cake line, what do? You get the biggest piece of cake that you can find. Well, this boy got him a big old piece of cake. Hallelujah, glory to God for it. And he turns around and goes to walk. And unfortunately, as he does, he turns a small boy and he drops the cake. He drops the cake. It hits the ground. There is cake icing everywhere. There is cake everywhere. And the thing is, here he is. He's dropped it. He's messed up the floor. And now he's trying to clean it up. And you know, young boy, they ain't thinking too much. He's reaching down and he's grabbing the cake up. He's trying to grab it with his hands. He's trying to put it back into plate. And at the same time, it's getting all over his hands. It's getting all over his shirt. It's got it up on his shoes. It's getting up on his britches. And the more the boy tries to clean up the mess, the bigger the mess the boy's making. I mean, it's just getting all over. And there's a sense of panic. He's embarrassed. And it wouldn't have been so bad if it had been all the way in the back, but it was right there in the front, right where everybody could see it. So no doubt the boy's embarrassed. He's ashamed. And he's trying to clean up. And he's making it worse. And he's to the point of almost being in the state of panic. And as this was happening, I looked around. I saw him. I saw others. And I saw some begin to laugh. And the question is, when you see somebody in need, how do you respond to them? What goes through your mind when you see somebody really, really having that need? I mean, to the point they need some help. And I saw folks begin to laugh at the little boy. They stood back and they covered their mouth like this right here and they'd snicker. And I hear them talk. I say, look, he's got it all over his shoes. And I started seeing that. I saw people laugh. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We need to consider ourselves. How would you feel? Everybody in here, you've been laughed at. You've been mocked and you've been ridiculed. You know how that feels. But how dare us turn around and do the exact same thing to somebody else? To somebody who is in need. To somebody who needs help. Job 13:7, this is God speaking. He says, as one man mocketh another, so do ye mock him. That's speaking of God. We are of the same body. We are the body of Jesus Christ. We are a part of that body, one with the other. And if I mock you, it's the same thing as mocking myself and laughing at myself. But in a sense, it's the same thing as mocking God and laughing at God. How do you respond to somebody who is in need? There was those that stood around and laughed at him. And then there was some that did what I did. I turned my back on him. I looked at my family. I said, just turn around. We don't want to embarrass him anymore. He's embarrassed enough. Let's just turn our back so he don't see us staring at him, and it won't embarrass him anymore. It won't hurt his feelings anymore. Do you turn your back on folks that have need? Do you turn your back on those that are crying out, those that are saying, somebody, please help me? John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Let's not say I love you and go on our way, but show our love by our actions, by our works, by our deeds. And I'm not talking about playing the hypocrite. I'm talking about a genuine heart of compassion to those that are around us. More so in the household of God. More so amongst the brethren. Let us love one another, but at the same time, I look at the world. And I look at the drunk on the street, and I understand that because that's what I was. I look at the one that's strung out on dope because that's what I was. I look at the one that's hooked into sin and hooked in the ways of the world, and I see myself in them. And thank God somebody came by my way. Somebody come by and they said, they didn't try to 1, 2, 3 me, repeat a prayer or anything else. They just came by and said, we'd like you to come to church. We'd just like you to come out to church. Just come down. You can get some help down there. And when all the tragedy happened in my life and friends got killed, almost got killed myself, and everything turned upside down in my life, I remember two old boys coming by and inviting me to church. And I said, you know what? I think I can get some help. I've got to have something. And I walked in the back doors of the church with a ponytail hanging all the way down to here, with earrings dangling out of my ear, playing in rock bands and living that lifestyle. And I walked in the back door of the church, and they didn't say, boy, get out of here and get a haircut. They didn't say, boy, go put on some decent clothes. You ain't welcomed here because of what you look like. You ain't welcomed here because of what you are. You ain't welcomed here because of the sin that you do. They walked up and they shook my hand. They said, thank you for coming. We appreciate you coming. We're praying for you. And I sat back there on the far back as I could get in that church with one foot sitting out in the pew or out in the aisle so I could get out the door if I had to. And I listened to the preacher preach. And I went home lost as I was when I walked in the door. But the next Sunday I said, there's something different about that church. There's something different about them people. I think I'm going to go back down there this Sunday. Went the next Sunday morning. And then about the 4th, 5th time, July 30th, 95, God reached down and saved me. Because somebody cared. Because somebody had compassion. Do you laugh at those that have need? Do you turn your back on those that have need? And then finally, what convicted me was there was those that helped. As I stood there and I looked, I saw the pastor of the church come kneel down beside that boy. Saw another man, I assumed he was a deacon, I'm not sure. He came down and they knelt down and got down in the mess. Now, I'm not talking about getting into sin, but they got down in the mess with that little boy. And they began to take paper towels and they began to scoop up the cake and put it in the plate, cover it. One of them picked it up, took it to the trash. The other one knelt down and began to clean that little boy's shoes. Clean that little boy's britches, legs. Began to wipe him up, put his arm around him and led him out. Walked with him. Led him out in front of everybody to take him back and help him to get cleaned up. See, there's those that laugh, those that turn their back on, but there's some that help. And God, the Holy Ghost, told me that moment as soon as I saw that, He said, why didn't you help? He said, you claim to be a servant of the Lord. Why couldn't you get down there on the floor and clean that little boy's shoes? God humbled me. God broke me. We read Galatians 1:6 just a minute ago. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift thee up. He'll lift you up. See, are you one that would help? Are you one that would share in the embarrassment? Are you one that would get down on your hands and knees beside one that has a need, that needs help, to the point of panic? Poor little boy's almost in panic. Do you help? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of ye be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How do you react? How do you react when somebody has a need? How do you react when somebody needs help? Do you laugh at them? Do you turn your back on them? Or will you get down beside of them? Whenever I wear out a Bible, somebody gets me a new one, I always go to the first page on it and I write three things down in my Bible. Number one, I always write pray down. Number two, I write love the Word of God. And the third thing is learn to be a servant. It would pay us all well to learn to be a servant. Not serve me, but let me serve you. The greatest message I ever saw.